Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Go from a fan of the show to star of the show. Send us your opinions now, and they could be discussed live on today's show. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday, September 26th. Thanks for joining us for morning coffee. It's a little rainy where we are in this part of the world. We're in the bunker here. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont here for the warm-up. If I'm Shrek, he's the donkey.
I love the donkey. It's probably my favorite character on the show.
Donkey! Oh, what a great show today. A lot of football coming up today, which I know will please, well, and hockey talk too, that'll please our in-studio guest, the Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, sports talk and 80s rock. The Silver Fox, Kelly Rempel, will be with us coming up in the second segment. Along the way today, some football guys. Brendan Tamman, Grey Cup winning general manager of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Also, he was with just about every team. And we'll talk to him about that. BT will be with us.
Yeah, I saw him in the control room trying to get his
lining
audio
it up.
And lining
okay,
it
good.
Up.
Has he shaved?
No.
No, of course not.
Of course
not. Nor have you. BT will be with us. Our director of scouting, Craig Smith, will be in the bunker. Those two won a Grey Cup together with the Riders, and they were together with the Bombers, too. Moose Jaw Warriors general manager Alan Miller will drop by as the Dub gets fired back up tomorrow night. And our NHL insider, Rich Sutter, will be with us in an appearance brought to you by Great Western Brewing. Richie has asked to be paid in beer, and GW was more than happy. As were we.
Oh, yeah.
To oblige Richie from Hockey's First Family. Show number 82. Got one?
Yeah, Delaney Walker.
You were ready to go.
I was ready. Don't worry. Naaman, of course.
Naaman Roosevelt. Yeah. Jason Claremont.
Yeah.
Jason Witten from the National Hockey League. Martin Straka. For you young kids, look it up. He was great on Sega.
Wasn't he?
And Donald Audette. Wanted to read the morning just to get you caught up on what's going down. Jacob Wagaspek put up a much-needed quality start, going six innings for the Blue Jays in their 3-2 win over the Baltimore Orioles at Rogers Center last night. Brady Tkachuk had a big night in Vancouver. The sophomore forward scored two goals and set up two more as the Sens beat the Canucks 6-2 in preseason play. And the big one, Maple Leafs GM Kyle Dubas learned of the allegation against Austin Matthews the same way many fans did on Twitter. Dubas addressed reporters following Toronto's 3-0 preseason victory over the Habs last night. He says no one in the organization had any indication the team's star center was facing a charge of disorderly conduct and disruptive behavior stemming from an incident 4 months ago in Arizona until the news broke online. Heaven knows there's enough talk on TSN and Sportsnet all about that, so we're not going to go, and we talked a lot about it yesterday, but I will just ask you this, because Mike Babcock said a similar thing as Dubas. Do you believe them?
Yes, I do. And this is the one thing. Our friend Dustin Nielsen put this on Twitter when talking about the Austin Matthews situation. And it just brings it all full circle. And he kind of said that, you know, Matthews is not ready for the captaincy because of how it's been dealt with. And if these guys really found out on Twitter, a good leader would just get out in front of it and open up about it and say, look, this happened. You're probably going to hear about this. And here's how we'll deal with it. Right? Instead, kind of sit back, wait, and maybe it won't come out. Maybe it won't come out. We've all been there, right? I'm just not going to say anything, and maybe they won't know. And then all of a sudden it comes out, and your general manager and your coach, as far as we know, find out on social media, and now you've got to kind of come back and react. At least he admitted it now, but what are you going to do? It's out there. So that's why he's not captain material yet, because it's not about making the mistake or not making the mistake. We do that. It's about how you deal with it.
Well, Babcock said that he just found out about it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I found out about it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, I don't believe Mike Babcock. How would I find out about it the same day the coach of the Leafs... And they met in Scottsdale this summer, did they not? He was there to visit Austin Matthews. So anyways, the last thing on that, the latest I read on The Athletic this morning, because the videos come out of the incident. Have you seen where Austin Matthews' dad's involved in this now?
No.
They went to Matthews' dad when the incident happened and told him what his son had did. He didn't believe it. He accused the security guard, the female security guard, of lying, said, "My son would never do such a thing. You're lying." Well, she pulled off the GoPro. They pulled the video, showed it, and there's your son. And she said, "I wasn't going to press charges, but they were being such jerks about it that I did."
Wow.
So there's your life lesson. You might get away with some of this stuff if you at least don't act like a donkey and apologize for it.
Yeah.
In the Athletic story, they said to Austin Matthews, "You might get charged and arrested." He goes, "I don't care." So... dun, dun, dun.
When you're on top of the world, you truly think you're invincible, I think.
Right. Well, I've been thinking this a lot about Antonio Brown, who probably, by the way, is just like, "Thank you, Austin Matthews, taking the spotlight off me for a couple of days." But when you get treated like you're special for your whole life, you start to think you're special. Newsflash.
Yeah.
So to football, because that's why a lot of people are tuning in. Our daily poll... which is Canada's game of the week? That's our poll for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. We got some doozies in the CFL. Hamilton at Winnipeg, Edmonton at Ottawa, Saskatchewan at Toronto, Montreal at BC. The runaway winner is Hamilton at Winnipeg on Friday Night Football.
And it should be. And it should be. That is easily Canada's game of the week. It's got the most intrigue. As we get now, you know, through this part of the season, they're all big games, but that's a playoff-style game. And we want those games that have those playoff implications. And we want to keep finding out if teams are for real. And the biggest one is Winnipeg. Find out how they can, you know, bounce back. That's huge.
As we roll through the warm-up, we get to the topics that will be the theme throughout the day. So that's going to be the poll for the next 24 hours. But there are some other things that have come out in the CFL. Jonathan Hefny, former Bombers, Stampeders defensive back. Might have played with a few other teams, but that's where I remember him from. You know that he had a career-ending injury. The CFL wouldn't pay for it. He, yesterday, was sentenced to 9 years in jail for cocaine trafficking. And there are people that I've seen on Twitter, mostly fans. I didn't really see media, but they're saying the CFL should own this because you forced him into dealing cocaine. And it's the CFL's fault that he's going to jail for 9 years. Look, Jonathan Hefny was a bad dude before any of this stuff happened with the arm injury. So he took the easy way out. Mm-hmm. And as a guy like myself that works in the recovery field now full time, I know drug dealers. It's good, easy money. It's very easy to get into for some people. Jonathan Hefny took the easy way out. It's easy money. Don't blame the CFL. Am I wrong on that?
No, I think you're paying on. We all have choices to make, right? I mean, when he leaves, there are other options. There are other options. Even if you don't have an education, even if maybe your skill set is only football, there are still other options. So you make that choice to take the easy route and, you know, you get what you get.
There's a lot of other people that could go down that easy way.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't. So don't blame the CFL. Jonathan Hefny is going where he belongs. I'm sorry. You talked about the Bombers improving. Oh, are they going to be mad tomorrow night at IG Field?
Oh,
spitting mad, and they're going to take it out on Hamilton.
And they're going to be mad and the fans are going to be mad if things don't go well right away. I wonder how long that takes.
Well, I was reading a quote from Paul LaPolice this morning in the Winnipeg Sun. The offensive coordinator of the Bombers is taking the blame for a late second quarter interception thrown by Chris Streveler in the Montreal meltdown the other day. And he says, it's my bad. Not everybody on the field on our offense knew exactly what was going to be asked of them. That's on me. And Chris Streveler, as Rod Black calls him, Streveler the Leveler, said, "No, that's wrong. No, that it's not, I threw the interception. It's not on Paul." There's a leader, though.
Yeah.
taking it right on the schnoz.
Well, and we saw that right from the get-go with Cody Fajardo when we had the live mic games, and he always taking it on himself, right? And now we're seeing it from Strevler. That's what you want out of your leader, and now it's bringing up the questions that maybe when Matt Nichols is healthy, maybe you got to stay with Strevler, but that's for another day.
Well, to me, the story here is Paul Lapolis taking the blame for a pretty serious interception at the time. It's not even his fault. Leaders take the blame, even when it's not their fault, taking the heat off other people in the organization. That's why Paul Lapolis will be a head coach sooner than later in the CFL. Maybe next year in Winnipeg if they don't get it done this year. Read on The Athletic as well that Marcel Desjardins, I did not know this, but apparently the GM of the Ottawa Redblacks went down at halftime last Saturday and kicked some ass of his players. And the coaches didn't like it because they were getting mollywopped by the BC Lions in TD Place, in Ottawa's building. And Marcel Desjardins went down and ripped the team at halftime. My question to you, and it will be to the panel and to the viewers, is does the GM, is he welcome in a locker room? Should he be in a locker room, dressing room, whatever you say? I say as the GM, he can go wherever the hell he wants. That's what I think.
Yeah, that's interesting because
he's everybody's boss except for the owner.
He is. He signs all the contracts, right? He makes all the contracts, so he can go down there and kick some ass for sure. The one thing I noticed, it didn't work. It didn't work. Clearly, they didn't wake up in the second half. But when you're frustrated, yeah, I can understand that for sure. I don't like it in that situation. That can happen maybe the next day at practice. You can maybe come down and address the team and be like, okay, the principal's coming down to really, you know, address this Monday morning, you know, first thing in the morning. But in the middle of the game, that's frustrating, and I think it shows a little bit of a lack of composure, perhaps. But I also understand the frustration.
A lot of pressure.
And I'd probably want to do the same thing. So, yeah, by no means do I think that, I don't know. I think, I understand. I am sympathetic to him for wanting to do it, but I don't think he should have.
I think if the GM's in there all the time, inappropriate, if he comes down once in 5 years, go wherever the hell you want.
Yeah.
Shivers did the same thing with the Riders in 06, and like 2 days later, he was shown the door. And two last things, just on the Riders. They are boarding a jet for Toronto today. They'll take on the Argos on Saturday. If you follow reports coming out of Mosaic Stadium yesterday, the decision to insert Jordan Williams-Lambert into the lineup, somebody, if he goes in, which we assume he will go in, will be either Manny Arsenault or Naaman Roosevelt coming out. I believe this is just Craig Dickinson playing games, not in a bad way, but just a little cat and mouse game. Probably took both Arsenault and Naaman Roosevelt and Williams Lambert on the trip.
Yeah, I would think
so. They got a charter. They got lots of room. What's another hotel room?
Yeah.
And we won't know until they either run out of the tunnel or one guy's going to come off. One guy will go on in terms of the roster, and we'll know the day before.
Yeah.
But do you really believe Naaman Roosevelt's coming out? Because I don't.
I don't either. I don't know. I know the production's, you know, dropped off from him being a leading receiver in the CFL. And he's got the skill set. He's the right guy. He can get back to that. But again, we hold so much value to the name, right? We hold so much value to Naaman Roosevelt because of what he did being a top receiver in the CFL, but he's not that receiver anymore. He's not a number one receiver in the CFL, like a top three or four receiver in the CFL right now. He's not putting up those numbers. Shaq Evans is our number one receiver. Manny Arsenault, we talked about, you know, you see his name and how great he was for such a career. We think he can still be that same top end receiver. So yeah, I don't know. I really honestly think it could be either Naaman Roosevelt or Manny Arsenault, but I feel like they're going to give Jordan Williams-Lambert a shot. And I think he'll be on the roster.
And Clark, just before we break, can you put up the guy's comment from Thunder Bay, Ontario? We've got a new viewer from Thunder Bay, Ontario, Ryan Bliznikov. Are you related to Fred Bulitnikov? He says, good morning from Thunder Bay. Am I the only one? Others in Thunder Bay, let us know if Ryan's the only person tuning in from Thunder Bay, Ontario today. And as a matter of fact, as we roll, coming back next segment, let us know where you are viewing from today, because we always like it so much. And we've got a big new feature coming up this morning, presented by Saskatchewan Snow Beef, Ian Crosby, over there between Regina and Moose Jaw. I think Karen Port is where he gets his mail. He's driving today with a bunch of Holsteins from Moose Jaw to Madison, Wisconsin.
Wow.
He's sponsoring the WHL Prospect Report every Thursday. We've timed it up so that Rems could be here for it, the Silver Fox. I won't say who that player is. It's coming up, along with Warriors GM Alan Miller, by the way. But just a thank you to Sask Snowby for the huge feed they put on. We should have put a photo of that up.
Oh, man. That was something else.
Clark could probably get it real fast.
Crave Kitchen and Bar.
All the expendables here.
Yeah, Crave Kitchen and Bar uses Sask Snowbeef product. They supply it. And so they invited us down. They put us in a room, and they just fed us all the food, the ribeye and the strip steak and you name it.
Tenderloin.
Oh, tenderloin, everything. And these sandwiches melt in your mouth with all the sauces and all the fixings. I said, it's like we're going to the electric chair the next day because it was...
I feel like it.
It was that.
I ate too much.
It was that good.
I hear these guys scrambling over here. Chairs are being knocked over in the room next to us. They're trying to get a photo of it. We'll get it throughout the program today. But the Expendables, our crew, asked down. Minus two.
Yeah.
Paul and Ryan, they fed us. It was great. Mariah, the server, took care of us so well. Took the photo. And so Crave and Local and Fresh. Tyler, I finally got it right. Our sales manager over there gives me the thumbs up. Oh, I thought he just pulled his collar closed like Urkel style over there. Urkel might be his new nickname. Anyways, thank you to Ian, where your prospect report is coming up. And thank you to Sask Snowbeef. It's like Kobe beef, but better.
But better. And then want to give a shout out to Modern Men. Went and saw Jasmine afterwards as the sponsors were taking care of us yesterday and got a haircut and talked about, you know, cleaned up the beard a little bit and the full facial deal. I put it all on Instagram. And so that was really cool, too. So you're going to have to get down there and check them out. But awesome to be treated by such great partners we have at the show.
This is the warm-up. Kelly Rempel on the bunker. Next on the way in hour one, Rich Sutter of the Columbus Blue Jackets and Rogers Sportsnet. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Time is running out on the employee pricing of our 500 new vehicles in stock. Get up to 19 grand off new F-150s. The employee price on this Super Crew 4x4 is just $34,999 plus tax. Employee pricing on all new Ford Escapes means up to $7,500 off. And we have over 100 in stock. Plus, get up to 16 grand in savings on a brand new Super Duty. We have over 60 in stock. The countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Lincoln. Offers end September 30th.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Rough. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday morning. I said, you're welcome, Tim Hortons, for the shout-out yesterday, but actually, the Tim Hortons guys are coming to Houston with us on our trip, and I write down every day that we need to talk about our Houston NFL trip, and I forget. So the Tim Hortons boys are coming. You can join us, too, but you only got 1 week left to book at Uniglobe Travel in downtown Regina. We're going December 5th to the 10th. We're going to catch the Texans and the Denver Broncos, as well as a couple of NBA games and high school state football as well. For all the details, you can go to rodpeterson.com/trip. Morning sports update is compiled by Connor the intern. In the NHL preseason last night, the Maple Leafs shut out the Canadiens 3-0. The Senators pumped the Canucks 6-2. Ticats Simone Lawrence handed a maximum fine for his hit on Eskimos quarterback Logan Kilgore Friday night. With Jordan Williams-Lambert starting Saturday for the Riders, that means they will have to sit either Naaman Roosevelt or Manny Arsenault. We'll know the result of that in the next couple days. And on the last day of the SJHL showcase, just two games. Humboldt beat Yorkton 4-1, and LaRange were winners over Melville 3-2. Looks like Killers got the Ice Wolves coming around. That's your morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. Well, I told you that the Silver Fox, Kelly Meppel, is going to be in the bunker, but our director of scouting, Craig Smith, a special treat, joining us early here. Good morning, gents.
Morning.
Good morning, Roddy.
I know we can talk hockey and football with both of you, and I try to do about a 50-50 split, but I'm going to jump right into the football because Connor, the intern's note of Simone Lawrence being fined, I hadn't mentioned that in the warm-up, but I'll start with you, Kelly. Repeat offender here. Our thoughts on Simone Lawrence. He's not getting it.
No, and never will. You know, it's like anybody that's done the same thing over and over and over again, and it doesn't seem to matter what you do, they just can't get it figured out. Those are the dangerous people. Dangerous people aren't people that learn their lesson the first time and they get it figured out. They're the people that just keep doing the same stupid thing over and over and over again. I have no sympathy for the guy. The only way you can deal with it is to give him like a lengthy suspension. You know, I don't understand in sports why we don't see more of that. You know, it seems like you have to do something just completely heinous to get a real serious suspension. And for these repeat offenders, Craig, I mean, it just, you got to throw the book at them at some point, or they just, because like Rod said, this guy just doesn't understand, I guess.
And it's a sad thing because the kid is such a good football player. Just, you know, do your job and play football. Never mind about any of that other stuff. Stuff that you can certainly hold back on. And when you don't do that, well, what's wrong? Why are you doing that? You know, so he's getting it, the suspension, I mean. And, you know, hopefully things can turn around for him. But like you said, you know, it could be something where he's going to do it all the time.
Well, if you're the commissioner, I don't know what you do. And I'm sure they're having these discussions. You find him the maximum amount. There's nothing else you can do, which is what? Half a game check, I guess? Other than suspending him for more games.
Yeah.
He's already been suspended too. But on a related topic, Vernon Adams. Haven't had you guys in all week. Your take on that. Does it make the CFL look bad? I don't personally think it does. That he's named player of the week in the very game that he...
Hell no.
They go back and say he should have been kicked out. I don't think it makes the CFL look bad.
No.
Kind of makes him look bad. But what's your take on that news this week?
Well, you know, I mean, he did something. And what I like about what he did was he, you know, sent an apology to him. You're in the heat of the game. You do something stupid and you know, he's going to pay for it. But guess what he did? He went and lit it up. He found the open receiver, and that kid can throw. And, you know, he's going to have his punishment against BC. So it's, you know, he's going to be gone, and that's the way it is.
Well, the reality is that in sports like, you know, football, lacrosse, hockey, well, any sport, frankly, for that matter, but they're violent sports, right? And the game happens so fast and is played at a very, very high speed. And they're reactional, emotional games. So, you know, you can't tell a bunch of guys, you know, be model, you know, upstanding citizens, you know, away from the football field or off the hockey rink. But the minute that you step on the ice or the minute you step on the field and you do your chin strap up and put your cleats on, we want you to be as violent as we possibly can, but never, ever, ever cross the edge. That's impossible because the nature of the type of a guy that's 240 pounds, that's flying around a gridiron, knocking people on their can, like that get worked up into that level of intensity, they're going to make mistakes once in a while. It's the cheap stuff. It's the headshots.
Which is cheap. Well, taking a guy's helmet off and swinging it at him is pretty cheap too.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying that, you know, he apologized. This guy's not a repeat offender. He hasn't been, you know, he hasn't done this kind of thing 4 and 5 and 6 times. I think that's sort of my line in the sand, Craig. It's how many times do you have to repeat the same thing over and over?
Well, he crossed the line. just a little bit. I mean, he didn't repeatedly knock the crap out of Adam Big Hill with a helmet. If you remember years ago when McSorley hit Brashear, that was way over. And
I liked it.
Yeah. Well,
22 well, games was yeah. it? I didn't like Brashear. So
yeah. Well, you know, he was a tough guy. And
well, by the way, the debate there, yeah. if you, at the time, I'm glad you brought that up. Was yeah, if the guy had done that 100 yards down the behind. Outside the arena on the street?
Oh yeah.
You're getting charged with assault.
Oh, absolutely.
You're probably going to jail.
Absolutely.
And the same thing, really, with Vernon Adams. You take helmet off and club a guy with it.
But
it's assault.
But I've never understood that analogy. To me, that makes zero sense.
Well, why is it different than it on the street versus on the playing surface?
Because anything that you do in football, if you tackled somebody on the street and dropped them on their head, that would also be
that's
assault.
Fair.
But hockey, they have sticks.
Weapons.
And a weapon. And, you know, the other thing was, who was the guy that hit Stephen Moore from behind?
Todd Bertuzzi.
Bertuzzi. Oh, there's another, you know, instance where...
Assault.
You know, and, you know, shit, there's assault. Whoops. There's assault all the time in hockey.
John Kordick, yeah. where he took the stick behind Ken Linsman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Popped. I mean, there are examples out there where guys go so far over the line.
I'm sure a lot of people like that, though, when that happened to Linsman.
The rat.
The rat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's not a good thing, but, you know, he was a bugger. He was one of those guys where if he's on your team, you loved him. If he was on the other team, you couldn't stand him. Just like Lori Boschman. He was the same kind of guy, you know.
Everybody says to me, it's not the same stuff. It's a new time, Rod. You can't do that stuff anymore. But it was so much fun
remember
watching
Jeff
it. What
Braswell?
It did. I don't remember Braswell.
Oh, yeah.
Jeff Braswell,
linebacker, 44, BC Lions, Edmonton Eskimos. Yeah. He started in BC.
What'd he do?
Well, he was just a certifiable maniac on the football field. And he was one of those guys that would take somebody's head off with a hit, and then he'd stand over top of him and bark like a dog, and he'd be like running over to the sidelines, mm-hmm. get in the face of the after a hit, and get right in the face of the opposing team's coach and bark like a dog and scream and holler, and he was constantly being suspended for doing stupid stuff. But you know, he's one of those guys where when he's on your team and he's like dropping somebody else on their head, it's fine. But, you know, you just absolutely love to hate those guys. I remember he used to come to Taylor Field and the fans would just absolutely go wild on this guy. And he loved every minute of it because he'd stand there in the middle of the field and embrace it. And the more angry they got with him, the more he loved it. Unbelievable.
And if he played football, I mean, he was good middle linebacker.
Very good.
You know,
Don Matthews said one of the best linebackers he'd ever seen.
Which I want to mention. Something too. Tyler has written in, Ty Dacu, regarding VA. He says his performance was 10 out of 10 and therefore he's player of the week. But the point is he shouldn't have been allowed to finish the game after what he did to Adam Big Hill. So he wouldn't have been 10 out of 10 if they would have got the call right at the time. That's what a certain segment of people are saying. And and we're trying to get Rich Sutter on. The boys will let me know when we do. But I want to put this to you guys. Do the Bombers have a right to be upset that this guy should have been tossed? Because if he had, there's no meltdown in Montreal. And the Bombers win the game.
Absolutely, they have a right to be upset. But, hey, they missed it. The New Orleans Saints have a right to be upset. Things happen. And unfortunately for the Bombers, you know, it's too bad. But it was missed. You know, Vernon, he came to play. I mean, after that, it didn't shake him up. He went and came to play. And I understand that. And people are talking about, they should forfeit the game or they should redo the game. That's garbage.
You've heard that too,
oh, yeah,
right?
That's garbage. The game is over. Unfortunately, they missed it. And, you know, and Vernon went and played, and he played well. And that's just the way it is. And last year, I couldn't stand it when the Saints weren't going to the Super Bowl because of that call. That was so ridiculous. But, hey, things like that, it's human.
The definition of egregious.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it is human. The refs at the time, how many times have we said it, though? The refs at the time blew it. But that's what you have video review for.
But how many times?
That's what you have a command center for.
Oh, you're exactly right. How did the video review miss it? But
they're almost two different conversations.
It is. You're right.
How so?
Well, go ahead.
Well, no, I think that, I mean, we can all agree that there are things that go on, in particular in the Canadian Football League, that just make you scratch your head. Clearly, the replay is there so that you can get it right. But they still don't.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a different conversation than saying, well, you know, the bomber's being upset. I mean, I understand why they're upset, because they would have every reason to say that if he was not in the game, they would have won the game. But, you know, at what point do you not look at yourself in the mirror and say, how many things did we do wrong coming down at the end of that game that also cost us? Like, it was it our fault that the, or is it the officials' fault that we missed the tackles? It was, is it the officials' fault that there were blown assignments on the field and the right hand didn't know?
Busted coverages.
Yeah, where the left hand was I mean, you could play that game all day long. When does it end? Where you don't take accountability for yourself and you blame somebody. You're always looking for somebody else to blame. I mean, I understand why they're upset. I've seen that before. I've seen it in hockey, where there's a couple of obviously missed calls. And instead of your team being on the power play and at very least probably, you know, not giving up a goal, the other team gets two and they win. But coaches never say, yeah, but we also had two defensive zone coverage collapses that resulted in the goal being scored. They always want to look at the official and say, well, it's his fault.
Well, but this is what I hear all the time. They're an easy target, right? They're easy to blame the officials. Especially in the CFL, yes, because I just heard the other day that they're still mad in Calgary over that overtime game with the Eric Rogers touchdown that they didn't call in double overtime because his foot was it in or was it out by the width of this paper, and the Stamps are mad at the officials still. And that surprised me with Calgary, because they are so mentally strong and they've been there, and I would have thought they just would have moved on by now. But with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers,
that's a little different though. That's because that was close. A tough call.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Yeah, but it's the last, it's one play of the game.
It is, but it's a tough call.
This is
so obvious where a guy hits a guy with a helmet.
Yeah, I mean,
that's obvious. You know,
they blew it.
Yeah.
If you have to, well, let's put it this way. Can we all agree that if you have to watch something frame by frame, four and five and six times and get four different angles, and it's still not real conclusive, can we just all agree that it's probably not something that we should be talking about a month later?
Well, the call on the field was touchdown. Okay,
so they're going to stick with the call.
Let me see. It's so close. Well, we can't decide. It's a touchdown, you know. So I mean, that's how they went. It's one of those things. And you know what? When I'm dead and gone, there's still going to be bad calls. There's still going to be things that are going to be making the outcomes of games change. That's just the reality of sport.
Clark, should we take a break before Rich Sutter? Can we do that? Is Richie's okay with that? And can we have the photo from Crave yesterday? Can we pop that up? All right. This is yesterday from Sask Snow Beef. You see on the left, that's our crew. The viewers can see that. It's kind of tiny on the big wall here. But that's Todder, our sales manager, joining me in the back row. And a gigantic feast of beef.
Holy cow.
From Sask Snow Beef, where they raise Wagyu Japanese beef out there, gentlemen.
Wow.
It's like Kobe beef, but better. Connor, the intern on the right, ate more than all of us. He's a growing boy.
My mouth is watering.
It was so good. And you can get it at Crave or Local and Fresh. Hey, a good farm guy joins us next after the break. And that is Rich Sutter. We'll be right back. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Thursday morning. Into the bunker here in gorgeous Western Canada, episode number 82 of the show. Brady in Saskatoon texts in. He's watching legendary number 82s, Naaman Roosevelt, Greg Ellingson, Delaney Walker from the National Football League, Jason Witten, Luke Wilson, Kyle Rudolph,
yes.
Rems. So yes. Show number 82 as we're rolling. And we hit 1 million views earlier on this week. That got a lot of people's attention. 1 million of anything gets people's attention. We hit 1 million views.
It's incredible.
You can toss that on the coffee. That's from Perkin Taps, our coffee house that brings us coffee and treats every day. They always write jokes on the box.
Great place.
What does it say on the box? What's the joke today the gal wrote on there? It's on the top. Never mind.
I think
it's a skill testing question.
Mirrors. There's no joke. It's just a
Don't worry about it. Let's move on to our next guest and we'll get that figured out. Rich Sutter joins us from, well, we'll see if he's in Lethbridge, Alberta this morning. Good morning, Richie. Where do we find you today?
I am in the middle of a 9-day trip. I'm in Vancouver today.
Yeah, you've been busy. I mean, how's this training camp tour been for you? Maybe tell folks what your job is these days with the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, you know, honestly, during training camp, the season, basically how it's been in the last month is you get out there and you see other teams' rookie tournaments. So I've seen like 8 or 10 other teams around the league at this point. But then I went back into Columbus for a few days and now back on the road. It's the time of the year where you want to try and see as many teams you can that you feel that have potential contract issues, roster issues, and basically be ready to help pull the trigger if something pops up here in the next couple of weeks, 10 days leading up to the waiver draft or waivers for a lot of these guys. We're in a unique situation in Columbus right now that we're one of very few teams that we're not in cap hell. And actually, we have lots of cap space that we feel that we can work with, if so be it, if we feel we can bring the proper player to come in and be what we feel is a true Columbus Blue Jacket type player.
So does that entirely have to do with the departure of Artemi Panarin to the New York Rangers, that you had some money saved for him and he didn't re-sign?
Well, he turned down $10 million more to stay with us, so I guess that was his prerogative to go somewhere else where living was different. And, that being said, honestly, Rod, it did open up space for us. In a roundabout way, we feel we got some kids that have been very good in camp. Kids that are really unknown in North America, that we feel if they keep charting the course they're on right now, that we feel we get some guys, special players, and what we feel will be the youngest team in the NHL this year.
Richie, it's still preseason, and already the heat is on. I always go Battle of Alberta with you, and you're on those Flames broadcast. Lucic ripped apart for his appearance or his performance for Calgary the other night. James Neal -3 for the Oilers. Like, this is going to go on for a while, isn't it, before we decide who won this trade?
I agree, Rod, to an extent in terms of where that goes. The biggest thing is I think it was a rare trade where I think the trade was good for both teams. It was good for both players. James Neal just has to settle in, and I mean, obviously, he'll get playing. He'll get his opportunity to play top two lines for sure in Edmonton to make this work. The guy's been a good player for a long time. He doesn't fall off a cliff like that without having a good comeback. So, I believe in James Neal. I think he's always been a good player. excuse me.
Oh no! Did we get befallen by hotel Wi-Fi again? Clark, I think we lost him. Kelly, how much are you paying attention to are you at all, the James Neal Lucic watch? Because it's fascinating to me on Twitter.
You know, I get...
Oh, we got him. Oh, I'm sorry, Kelly. They said we got him back? We got Richie back? Yeah. We can bring
him
in?
You guys just got me on.
Yeah, sorry, Rich. You broke up when you said that you'll always believe in James Neal, so you can pick it up from there. Oh, we lost him again. So are you following this as closely as...
I have to say, Rod, that I get a little burned out from some of this stuff. I mean, I do find it fascinating like you do. I thought that Milan Lucic's comments about, you know, whatever it was a month or so ago about how, you know, he the Edmonton Oilers situation was such that he didn't really enjoy having young guys lead the team and all this other kind of stuff. I thought, man, for the amount of money that you're getting paid, that was kind of your job, was to lead the team. But if people are going to go game by game,
which they are,
and monitor, like start, you know, keeping score, man, this is going to be a long year to listen to this stuff over and over and regurgitate itself like shift by shift. But that's the world we live in now with analytics and social media. It's not going to get easier on these guys, but nor should it for the amount of money that they're getting paid. I know they don't like it, but you know what? Tough.
And we'll bring Richie back in. Richie, you said you'll always believe in James Neal. That's where you left off, so you can pick it up from there.
Well, I think the biggest thing, like, and I'm a big fan of Milan Lucic. I think what the Flame structure and system that Bill Peter has in will be good for him. It'll be good for how he will play. I quite frankly, I watched the game. I was at the game the other night. I thought he was really good. The biggest thing is, I kind of laugh. We talk about contracts. You know, we look at the Vancouver Canucks situation, and they've got so many guys on these crazy one-way contracts, and I don't know where they're going to put everybody. It's a perfect example. Like, I made a comparison last night to another NHL general manager about Louis Erickson, and simply being said was, look, people can complain, the media can write and continue to talk all they want about players like Neal and Lucic and Erickson, but at the end of the day, those guys have been good players. They were given these contracts by teams that wanted to give them those contracts. I mean, if someone's going to come along and say, well, you know, you're worth $6 million, and you might think, well, you might at the end of the day be worth $4 million, but they're offering you $6 million over 6 years. Are you going to say no? So you can blame players all you want, but I think a lot of these deals you got to start looking back more at the teams and the media. You need to stop thinking about that kind of stuff and just look at the guy as a player. He's trying to go out and play hard every night, irregardless of the money he makes. He didn't say, okay, I'll take that, or I didn't say, I'll turn that money down that you're offering me. So I think we got to look past the dollar signs and look more at people and players.
And lastly, Rich, you're a five-tool player really for the Blue Jackets because you can scout pro, but you're also scouting junior, I believe you are. And the top 10 rankings are out for the CHL. And as far as the dub goes, the Blades are 3, Oil Kings 4, Vancouver Giants 6, And then honorable mention to the Portland Winterhawks. You're out in Alberta, Red Deer, Lethbridge, Medicine Hat, Hitman. What's the outlook out there? And do you believe that the Oil Kings are the best of all of them?
Well, I think it's early. You know, the Oil Kings. I want to reflect a little bit on the Blades. Here's a team that is really, I think, turned the corner, but I think so much is riding on where is Kirby Dach going to be in a week? Where is he going to be in a month? I mean, he's the guy that's going to stir the drink and drive the engine of that hockey club. And if they get him back, they're going to be right there all year. But if they don't, I do like the teams out west. You know, I have managed to get out and see some games already. It's a busy time, so you try and see as much as you can. But we have some great people in place that are now working out in the Western League for our organization that know the game. And hopefully we'll put a stamp on our hockey club in time to come.
All right, Rich. Safe travels. I appreciate the visit this morning, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, Rod, talk soon. Take care and enjoy the coffee and goodies there today. I envy what you guys are having.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Thank you, Rich. Appreciate it. Rich Sutter out there in Vancouver this morning. Yeah, we have coffee here every day at 10 and talk sports. What a job. But, and the Rich Sutter interview and appearance brought to you by Great Western Brewery, Saskatchewan's oldest brewery, Great Western.
I had a question.
Yeah.
Do the hockey scouts go to training camps as well, or do they just go to see games?
Both.
They do, hey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, paid to do it. Can you believe it? How great is that?
Oh.
What I love, but this, I was thinking about this last night with hockey, particularly the NHL. They come in and have one practice, maybe two for camp, and then they're out playing games.
Yeah.
Which I love. Football, you can't because you got to install an offense, install a defense, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many meetings, so many hours of practice. But in hockey, it's like, let's drop the puck and go.
I remember.
That's where the evaluating is.
Years ago, Minnesota North Stars had the training camp at Winnipeg Arena. I was there every day watching practice. And, you know, obviously they went through drills and you could really see the guys who could skate and the guys who were struggling, you know.
Yep.
And so it was a cool thing.
Oh, yeah. I love it. And obviously Rich loves it. What did he say? 9 games in 9 nights?
Yeah.
And that's his job.
To your point, just a quick observation, I guess. I've never coached hockey, but I've coached lots of football. And I can tell you that in any of the coaches that I know that have coached both, or any of the players that I know that have played pretty high levels of both, I haven't met anybody yet that has not said that there is far more planning, quote unquote planning, that goes into football, that goes into hockey. Hockey is a flow game. So of course you're going to practice your coverages. It's, you know, very similar to the way a football secondary
hockey
coach.
Hockey and basketball very similar.
There are not a lot of differences in terms of how a defensive coach might prepare certain strategies as to how a coach in hockey would prepare his D-zone coverages and those kinds of things. But football starts and stops and starts and stops 100 times in a game. And every single time it stops and restarts, there's a new play call on offense and there's a new play call on defense or specialty teams. So just the sheer number of different plays that you have. And if they're not executed almost perfectly, the play has no chance. So at the peewee level or Adam level of Regina Minor football, teams videotape games and sometimes bring the kids together to actually watch them, allow them to watch what they're doing on video. At we're talking 10-year-olds.
Well, I think it's too much.
Kids love it though.
When I was a Pee Wee head coach, I had my wife get up on a scaffold to video.
And she's here.
And she's here.
You're very lucky, which you know.
I know. I sure am. But she'd get up there, we'd tape it, and then we'd go watch it, and the kids loved it. We'd get a 24 of, not beer, we'd get a 24 of Coke, and, you know, the kids would be running around with, all the sugar that they had, but they'd sit and watch, and, hey, look at that. You know, I mean, it was a learning experience, and, you know, that young, it wasn't something that,
Well, by the way, on that scouting and coaching and everything. I have a point on that. There's news this morning out of Halifax with the Schooners. Did you see that?
I
want to get to that. But when you ask about hockey scouts, the only time that my dad would go to Dallas or Minnesota was in the fall for camp, and he would be there for a week, and then he'd be back here watching games. And I just remember that Greg Drinan wrote an article on my dad back in the day, Kelly, 25 years ago.
You still have that article?
Of course. And they disseminated that all over the Stars office to all the staff.
Cool.
And Les Jackson, who you know, who's my dad's boss, said, everybody, this is our scout, Jim Peterson, in Canada. You'll never see him. Because he's out on the road all the time.
Watching games.
Watching games. That's what he wants to do. That's what you want to do.
Yeah.
So those scouts are very rarely in the office.
Well, that's
or the big rink.
You're having Brendan Tamman on, and you know, we would go and we'd have a meeting with all the people in the Rider organization, and he'd say, well, there's Craig Smith. You probably don't. You might not recognize him because he's gone. You know, he's usually on the road. So
watching players.
Yeah,
doing your job.
Yeah.
So on the Halifax thing, Lynch talked about this on Tuesday. Lynch is, as you guys know, he's very plugged in football.
Yeah.
And before this story came out in the Halifax paper this morning, and I think it's a good one. I think this is ingenious, and I want to spend the rest of the time here, in hour one, on this. They've proposed to build a stadium in Halifax area of 12,000 seats. The cost, Kelly, will be $94 million. What was the Moose Jaw rink? $60 million? Wasn't that what it was?
62.
$94 million to build a 12,000-seat football multi-purpose facility in Halifax area. And we're just going to start there.
How many seats, sorry?
12.
12.
But with an additional 12 to 13.
Said 12.
Temporary.
Yeah.
So, to get up to 24,000 for a CFL. But it's an ingenious way of selling it, in my mind, to get the people of the region on board. We're just going to build the 12,000. And if this team fails, we'll leave, but you'll still have this beautiful facility here.
Which they need.
Well, of course, which the taxpayers will have paid for. You just hope. I don't know the people of the Maritimes. I just know a few. I hope that they're not the kind that say, well, I won't use it, so I don't want my tax dollars going
to.
Because you hear that a lot, right?
You hear that everywhere.
Right. So.
But okay, but at the end of the day, though, what do you want your quality of life to be? Do you want to? It's I hate to keep bringing it up, but you kind of talked about the multiplex in Moose Jaw, Mosaic Place. I remember when I was on a couple of committees that were trying to get that thing built, and you're always going to get those people that say, "But I hate hockey. Why would I spend my well? You know what?" I probably shouldn't admit this, but it's been a while since I, you know, frequently visited a library or rode city transit. But that doesn't mean that I don't think that the city needs it.
But can you convince these people?
No. You can't. But what you need to do is you're going to have a certain number of people out there that would build anything. Wouldn't matter what it was. They see the big picture on anything that's good for the city, and they'll put their money towards it. You're going to get those people on the other side that you know, the cave dwellers, okay, that never want to build anything, and you have to forget about those people. Those people aren't going to be convinced otherwise, no matter what. It's the people in the middle that you need to push, pull, and drag their votes on these referendums and these kinds of things. And, you know, what kind of a city do you want to live in? Do you want to have a hockey team? Do you want to have a CFL team? If the answer is no, and by and large, the people just don't want a pro sports franchise there.
But it's not just
fine.
It's not just football.
No, I know that.
That's the idea of this proposal, which I think is very smart. Anyway, well, sorry, Smitty, continue.
Look at the stadium here. 10 games football. Well, what else have they had there? Well, maybe the Eagles. They had the Eagles, and they've had a couple other concerts. That's pretty darn good. You know, I mean, they've used that facility, and they're going to have a hockey game.
One day we might even have an NFL game in there.
Yeah.
You like that one, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll get 10,000.
What I think with the Schooners is that what they need, after I was out there for Touchdown Atlantic, is they need visibility. They need somebody beating the drum. Yeah. They need a salesman. And from what I can tell, they don't have that.
A promoter.
They need a promoter. There you go. And I don't know if this group of guys that they have, they're all the Arizona Coyote guys. That's what I think they were missing in Arizona. They're missing it in Halifax right now. Get people invigorated in the region. I wrote about it. I don't know if I told you guys, but I heard a poll on the radio in Moncton, which is 2 hours away from Halifax, but they said, should we get a CFL team in the Maritimes? Like we do a daily poll. Yes or no was very simple answers. 57% said yes. So when you said, do you want it or do you not? That's a very lukewarm response, I would suggest. Yeah. That's what told me that these people need to be convinced this is the best thing for them. Not just the CFL team, but the new multipurpose facility in Halifax.
Ask the people in Moose Jaw what they think of their facility. Okay, Brendan and I, we went to the first game, actually, there. Got a puck from there, and what a nice facility that is.
Yeah, what do they think in retrospect, Kelly? It's a good question.
You know, honestly, I think the people that always wanted it are saying, like, see, look what we have. And the people that never go there, they never go to concerts, they never go to Warrior games, they never do anything. They sit there and say, see, I told you that the place would lose money. You're yeah. never going to win. It's just the way that it is. But at the, you know, as I keep saying, you have to just, you either do it or you don't do it, right? And there's no getting around it. When they did the referendum in Moose Jaw, here was an interesting thing, and I don't want to bore the audience, but I think this is interesting. So the city's divided up into 11 different cells in Moose Jaw. So you got the VLA area, you got Sunningdale, you got the Northeast, you got all these different little cells. Everybody naturally assumed that, well, the people in Sunningdale and the people in the VLA area that have like the bigger houses, those people are obviously going to vote for it. But the poor people that are living in the East End or South Moose Jaw, where they clearly are living in smaller homes, those people aren't going to vote for it. Actually, no, 11 out of 11 cells voted to build the multiplex. And in some cases, the ones that were in the areas that everybody perceived may not want it because there's lower income, there was no correlation whatsoever between the percentage of vote that wanted it, that didn't want it.
Well,
people either want to be entertained or they don't.
And the other thing where you never really know where things are going to go, there was the complaint in Moose Jaw that there's going to be no parking around the arena. That
Nonsense.
Has not been an issue.
Nonsense.
Hasn't been an issue.
We didn't have a problem when we went there.
No, I love going there for events. PBR was the last one I was at in June, and it was awesome.
There's a nice little bar down the way with fish and chips. It was really good.
The Crush Can?
No, not another one. The new stadium.
No, there's a bar called the Crush Can.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, right next
door.
Across the street.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You got to check it out. I'll take you there sometime.
Sounds
Deja, well, we got to go for lunch. Let's just go to Moose Jaw.
Yeah.
These guys used
that's
to go to Moose Jaw
to
just to go to Bonanza.
That's who. Hey, that's my boss. My boss will be
Brennan
on.
Tammon.
You ask him about that.
Actually, let's get his take on the fact there are.
Should build a Golden Corral, and that would help you.
You and I should build a Golden Corral.
Yeah.
just lastly, Daku writes this on the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. The people complaining about venues being built need to give their heads a shake. Economic stimulus goes far beyond immediate use of a facility. And look at the Grey Cup itself. If people don't understand the topic of economic stimulus, Grey Cup of 2013 here, $97 million spinoff in a week, in 1 week in the province, and particularly Regina. You don't want a chunk of that, Halifax? Checking the poll results just before we break at the end of hour one. Today's Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll is, which is Canada's game of the week in the CFL? Hamilton at Winnipeg Friday or the Saturday tripleheader? Edmonton at Ottawa, Saskatchewan at Toronto, Montreal at BC. The runaway winner is...
This shouldn't even be close.
No brainer.
Hamilton at Winnipeg on Friday Night Football. You've got 23 hours left now to vote on it. Next hour, Brendan Tammon, as promised, and the GM of the Moose Jaw Warriors, Al Miller, and our first Sask Snowbeef WHL player profile. That's all coming up on the Rod Peterson Show. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and subscribe to our YouTube channel, rodpeterson.com/rodpetersonshow.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Canada-wide.
worldwide clearance at Capital GMC Pre-Owned means clearance prices on every used vehicle in stock. That means special discounted prices on over 200 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Right now, we have over 40 Jeeps to choose from. Save thousands on this fully loaded, certified pre-owned 2018 Grand Cherokee Limited 4x4. It's only $36,915 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned Compass Limited 4x4 has a clearance price of only $26,998 plus tax. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.